This is a parole hearing for John D. Graham. It is for home arrest or regular parole. Mr. Graham, if you want to just come up here, you want to go with some information that we have. So this is for home arrest or parole to regular parole, is that right?
Yes, it's going to be off the monitor.
Okay. So, sir, you are on a life sentence. You've been serving prior to this for a murder in the first degree. You were originally given the death penalty, but through the appeal, you received a 25 to life term. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You became parole eligible April 8th of 06. Is that right?
I actually became, well, that was the final release date should I have made parole, which I did.
Yes. Okay, according to the progress report that we have here, sir, it says that, are you still $260 behind in payments?
No, I'm current.
You current? So when did you become current on that?
Like 2 weeks ago?
Just in time, huh?
Well, I had been offered some medical surgeries and stuff, and it built up, but I went back to work, and as soon as I had some money, I took care of it.
Okay, because this says that actually you were currently at the time this year, that you were unemployed, but you are working now, sir? You have Charles Electric Company?
Like 2 months, isn't it? Yeah, 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah, EF Charles Electric.
All right.
Electric Company.
And I may be wrong, because it looks like the date started, it looks like April 25th of 2018. That the date started working?
I couldn't.
Okay.
I should have made some notes on these kind of questions, but I didn't anticipate.
It says, according to the appeal, that you remain in compliance with your conditions of supervision. You have completed counseling as required. You commit to continue to submit itinerary requests with compliance weekly. You submit random urine tests with no diluted missed or positive results of an offender has had ongoing medical issues since release to include surgery on his hand, and that you are employed, it does say in here, you're employed with Charles Electric Company and works full-time currently. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you haven't been delinquent with your monitoring fees? Is that?
No, I'm current on everything.
Okay, so something that I just kind of noticed in here that in there was a detainer in 11 and 13 for, were you released and absconded at one time?
Would you like me to explain it to you?
Yes, sir.
When I got released in 2006, I was paroled to Ohio.
And let me do one more thing because I didn't do it. Sir, please just state your name and your ADC number for us for the record.
My name is John Graham. And my DOC number is 044402.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Okay, I'm back in Ohio. Was doing good, got my barber license back. I was cutting hair. I was supposed to report. Let me start a little sooner. It had been like 5 years, and I had scheduled with the board here for absolute discharge hearings. And each time we had a hearing, they couldn't get a hold of my parole officer, so they were postponed. Like three different months it was postponed. I was supposed to report on November 14th, and I was on minimum reporting status. I only had to report every 90 days. I was traveling to Florida and Missouri, and I was doing good. So they changed parole officers on me. The new parole officer come out to the house a week before and put a card on the door, didn't come to my work. I work at the Bexley Barbershop. Put it on there. My brother takes it, goes on the kitchen table, you know, newspapers, what have you. He never gives it to me. So, and it was telling me to report a week sooner on the 7th, which is a Tuesday. I was reported it was on Tuesdays. So the following weekend, I don't know if I was supposed to report that my date had been changed. It's the 12th, it's Saturday. And I'm one street over Now, unbeknownst to me, she had already wrote a warrant because I failed to report, said that I had absconded. I'm doing some extra work one street behind where I live, and I was parked, I had my trailer parked. I was working for a bank, taking care of foreclosed homes. And I parked the wrong way, and officer came up. He said, man, you got to turn this around. And all right, you know what I'm doing. And he comes back and says, hey, did you know you got a warrant for you? I said, there is no possible way I could have a warrant. I said, I am due to get off parole any day. Sure enough, there's a warrant. So they bring me all the way back. They bring me here on Christmas Day, throw me in Alhambra. They take me to Buckeye. And my sister went and got my wallet. There's the card to tell me to report on November 14th. And the card that she got from my brother saying November 7th, that I never got. So Dwayne Belcher was the chairman of the board then. We finally had the hearing. She had sent this information to him. And to make a long story short, they voted to put me out on home arrest. Because I didn't, there were some people back there who said that they thought I was doing drugs, but I always passed my drug test. I wasn't doing any drugs. But anyway, so they let me back out here. I'm living where I'm living now, and then I moved to Tucson and got married. It turned out to be even the lady on the parole board at the time, I forget her name, she told me that she thought it was a bad idea. Because I was here trying to get off the monitor, and I was, but she let me move, they let me move to Tucson. I moved to Tucson, and we got married, and 4 months later, I had an argument with my wife. She wanted to quit her job, wanted me to take on a second job, and we argued. Nothing bad. And I walked outside, and my neighbors were sitting out front. We shared a balcony, and it was a weak moment. And here, have a drink, man. Don't worry about that. Don't, you know, the windows was open. It was in September. They could hear us. And I even told him, I said, no, I shouldn't. They knew me. They said, oh, you just went the other day and tasked. You're good. You're good. I'm like, no. But in that moment, all right, get her here. She was looking out the window and went like this. And I think nothing of it. The next morning, she called my parole officer, Helen Reyes. And that was the last day of September. And the first day of October, they called me. And they told me to go down and give a urine test and report there first thing Tuesday. So I did it. And it was one drink of Seagram's. I'm not downplaying it because I messed up. But I took the drink. And it just barely showed up on their test, but it was enough. And they violated me. And we had this discussion before. I think everybody here was on the board when you guys voted to let me out.
Right.
And I believe it was Ms. Rittenhouse. I said, you've been back for 4 years for a drink? And I said, yes. And she's like, oh, I got to check the record. But anyway, so I did 4 years. I programmed the whole time. And you guys unanimously voted to let me back out. And I had been out, and I haven't had a single violation. Because I've already done this itinerary thing. You can ask Mr. Adams back here. I haven't skipped a beat. I'm on it. If I have any kind of question in my mind about what I should or shouldn't do, I call him. And he'll say, well, go do this or go do that or don't do it. Or, you know what I mean? I'm very proactive. I've completed all my drug classes, or not my drug classes, the anger management classes that they mandated. And I periodically go to the church up on at the Vineyard. They have a Celebrate Recovery. And I go there sometimes just because they have a praise and worship session. It's just a good place to charge my batteries. And I've had a couple different jobs. I had a job working for this place called Elite Technical Coatings. And we did powder coatings. And the guy that owned the place, for lack of better terms, was like the Hulk. Remember the old Hulk when he would get upset and turn green, and he beat a guy up one day. one of the other employees. And I told my parole officer about it. He's like, "Oh, man, we need to get you away from there." But I was, had schedule coming up to get my hand operated on. So I quit, did that, and then I got a job working at this potato chip place. And the first day they worked me for 3 hours. The second day they worked me for 4 hours. And I called him and told him, he said, "Man, why don't you go over here to E.F. Charles at this, at the 51st and Camelback, they're building a school." He said, "Go over there and tell them I sent you." And I went over there and they hired me, and I've been back ever since. Even when I could hardly work my hand, I'm out there working like a 20-year-old. And now I'm working down here at 27th Avenue and Baseline. Just broke ground on another new school. And I can't express to you guys the depth. You know, I did 4 years on a parole violation for a drink, and I've told myself it will never happen again. My nephews sometimes have parties in the backyard. They didn't have a few beers. "Have you ever gotten one drink?" "Nope." "Don't even ask me." They'll tell you. And never had a dirty UA, except for the 25 years I was in prison and all the years I was out, except for this dirty UA for the alcohol. It will never happen again, and it hasn't happened. And I told you when you released me last time, I believe I talked to you, because I told you that I knew a guy named Michael Johnson. It's not going to happen. I just turned 59 a couple weeks ago, and I don't have any time left to spend behind the bars. I've got a good woman right here, Tracy.
She's not going to call on you?
Oh, yes, she's supposed to be.
No, I said she's not going to call and report you.
No, I'm not going to give her no reason. But she's got my back for him. Like we'll be someplace in the beginning.
I have a lie for him.
She won't. In the very beginning, you know, we'd be out doing something, and like the McDonald's was right there. "Well, can we swing in there?" "No, we can't." You know? "Well, why not?" I said, "Because my luck is we'll probably get away with it, but maybe, just maybe, Mark will look at that monitor later and check my points." That's what they call it, checking your points on the map or whatever. And it's a GPS. They can tell if I step over here.
Right.
And so all, you know, my nephew here, how many times have we been out and need to go to the store? Because I bought a car when I was working for Elite Techno Coatings. I was taking that bus. I was walking. You know, I walked from 59th or 67th and Osborne all the way to Task at 67th in Glendale, all the way down to 59th and back. That's 10 miles. I walked it in 3 hours. But that I used to do it. And then I finally bought a car. We fixed it. My insurance is paid up for 6 months. Everything I'm doing is by the letter. And my parole officer, what a blessing. He helps me. Gives me advice, and again, I don't give him no reason to get on me. He's told me before, "Yeah, I know, I ain't got to worry about you," but I don't test it, you know what I mean?
So, Mr. Graham, tell me some of the good things going on in your life right now.
Some of the good things going on in my life?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you. I get
goosebumps.
I get goosebumps thinking about it, and she's back here popping off, but she's the best thing that's happened to me in years. Mm-hmm. Many, many years. Sorry. We're doing things that I would dream about doing someday. They're her granddaughters, but they're mine. One's a one-year-old, one's a five-year-old, and I take them everywhere I can. I do as much as I possibly can with them. When I get home from work, they come running up to me. It's just the greatest feeling, you know? We're looking to get a place, we found a couple of spots, which is, it's difficult being on parole. Tomorrow, regardless of what happens here today, I have an appointment with a place called Apartment and Home Solutions. And I spoke to the guy last week, and he's like, "Oh, I don't know if I can help you, you know, being on parole." But they're supposed to help guys like me, but not on parole. And, but he heard the story, and he's like, "You know what, you come in here on Tuesday, you bring Tracy, and I'm gonna do what I can to help you." And so we're hoping to get our own place real soon. I found a house 2159 in like Orangewood, and the lady said that my conviction's not gonna get in the way of it, but it's a little bit small. Tracy's, you know, for the money, she wants something a little bit bigger. But my other nephew, you know, he was going through some drinking problems recently, and I called Mark one day. I said, "Hey man, my nephew, he broke up with his girl. He's having a hard way to go. I need to get him to a meeting." And so I took him up to the Vineyard on Peoria Avenue, which is where I go to church. And on Thursday nights, they have a celebrate recovery meeting. And so I took him down here. It breaks my heart to see what's going on in his life, because he's struggling with this. But I got him, you know what I mean? I'll do what I can to help him. And him and his brother sitting right here, Colton, they'll tell you, I'm helping any way I can. And I'm trying to lead by example. And yes, I'm responsible for a man's death. And I can never live that down. I can only try to live up to what maybe the expectations are for me for the rest of my life. I can't change what's happened in the past, but I can change what goes on from here. And I will never go back to prison. I'll never go back. And I think Mark Adams back here will mirror everything that I've said, because I've made it a point in my life to pay attention to the small things. And I was supposed to see you guys 3 months ago. And finally one day, Tracy said, "You know, you just need to call them." So I called down here, and Hannah says, "Well, we don't have nothing for you. Why don't you call over here and speak to Anthony?" So I called over there to him, and he's like, "Wow." He punches me up, and he says, "You fell through the cracks." And so she told me to tell him, when I talked to him, that if what I was saying was true, that she would schedule me for this month, and she did. And so it's been, I'm on my ninth month on this thing, and I know what you said earlier about how it's kind of rare to let somebody off in 6 months. Well, it's been 9 for me, and I think my actions and my life has been, for lack of a better word, exemplary. I walked away from one job. I worked there one night. Me and Cole fixing pallets. And the very first break, I go to the bathroom, and they're sitting in there smoking meth. We went back out, worked for another couple of hours. It was a 12-hour shift. And finally, we spoke, and we called his mom to come get us. I said, "Because I can't be around it. I don't want to be around it, and I ain't going to be around it." So I told Mark about it, and he said I did the right thing. And that's when I got a job working for Elite Technical Coatings. But after he beat that guy up, you know the rest of that story, I moved on. And now I'm doing the work of a 20-year-old out here on this job site. I'm sore every night. She rubs me out every night trying to get me fixed up for the next day. But I'm enjoying it. I'm a barber by trade, but I haven't got my license transferred out here from Ohio yet. And I don't know if I will, because I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of substance abuse in the barber trade. A lot of you guys aren't going to know that your barber's probably lit when he's cutting your hair off.
You know how many
of them are.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Yeah. Mr. Brown, let me see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir. Okay. Sir, we're about to come up on a conclusion on your hands. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board?
I would just like to say that you gave me a second chance. I believe all of you were on the hearing, all five boards last time. And I haven't let you down, nor will I. And I'm just asking to go, as you know, to the general parole, just so that me and Trace can get on with our life. Because she works nights, and she's like, "Oh, I'm hungry. Can you go get me something?" "Oh, no, you can't." Just the little things in life, taking the kids to the park. I got to put it on the itinerary, you know. Twice a month I'm allowed to do things like that, twice a month. But these babies, they love me, and I love taking them places and doing things, taking them to the mall. And I'm just trying to live a normal life. And I'm doing the best way I can, the best I can under these circumstances, and I will continue to do so if you choose not to let me off the monitor. But I'm here to tell you that there's not going to be a whole lot changing in my life if you put me on general parole, except that me and Tracy are going to have our own place. But as far as the rest of it goes, hopefully the next time I see you in here, it'll be for an absolute discharge. Because I should have been off parole in Ohio. If they could have just got a hold of my PO before this other thing happened, I mean, it's just my luck. But this time I made it a point to not let you guys down and not let me down. Because I'm here to tell you that sitting 4 years in the penitentiary for a drink, no drinking and driving, no nothing, was the hardest time I ever did. And I tried to beat into this thick skull of mine that it ain't going to happen again, and it hasn't, and it won't. And so having said that, God bless you guys. I see you made some tough decisions today, and I hope I made you proud.
Well, Mr. Graham, is there anyone else that supporters we have that want to speak?
Yes, my nephew would like to say some words, and I think Tracy should get up here and say something too.
Look like you learned how to delegate too, huh?
My name is Cole DeMann. I'm his nephew. As you heard, you've probably seen me in front of a man that spent 29 years in the penitentiary. Very well-rounded, very smart, kind-hearted. Taught me things that my own father hasn't taught me. Been there for times, you know, that have been hard for me, and this is why he was locked up and been able to communicate with me over the telephone, call me, whatso. Like he said, he's done everything right that he can. You know, he hasn't messed up. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's obviously admitted all of his wrongs in life, and I feel like he's ready for that extra step of freedom, that extra step of life, you know, that he used to have. And like he said, for 4 years in the penitentiary for a drink is kind of rough, but I don't think he'll be doing that again. I think he's well learned and overcome his problems and demons in life, and he's like I said, I think he's ready to step out and enjoy his life just a little bit more than he already is, you know. I think he's served his time. I think he's proved the state, and everybody's proved their point of there's no games or anything like that when it comes to, you know, punishments. And like I said, I really do think he's ready to take that extra step out.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Very responsible.
Thank you, sir. The board
thank
has
you.
Questions. Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm going to make this very quick because I've been up all night. Just got out at 6 this morning and I apologize for the way I look. My name is Tracy Schnurr. He is a good man. Great with the kids. I would like to build a future with him. Taking things a little slow right now. Just a good man. You know, and it's true of what you guys said earlier. It's all on who and the company that you keep. You know, you hang around with bad people and you're just going to diminish your character and just be a bad person. I'm a good person. Never been in any trouble. don't drink, don't do drugs, never done anything like that, raised two kids on my own. You know, I think I found a good man. I think he deserves a second chance. I'm willing to give it to him. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
So you want to come on up to parole officer at this time? And you know something, because, well, this is, well, it's not a revocation. I was just going to say that. Anybody here?
No.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Parole Officer Mark Abney with the Electronic Monitoring Unit. I've been supervising Graham since about October of last year. Since he's been released, he's been in compliance. He has had some adversity, as he's talked about, some family members. He does have a good support system around him. Unfortunately, in a lot of families, not everybody's a good support system. So he does see that adversity. And fortunate or unfortunate for him, this isn't his first time on house arrest or parole. So he does know the routine. He does know what is expected of him. And having his freedom taken away from him on two separate occasions has made him very aware of what his rules are and how strict it really is while he's on home arrest. I believe that that's been very beneficial for him.
Okay, so Mr. Adams, you haven't had any problems with him since he's been on home arrest with his monitoring, or?
No, no problems. I did want to get a couple of just house cleaning. His payment was made on May 30th to bring him current for $260, so he now does have a current balance. And it is correct, April 25th was his start date for the company that he works for now. I do not remember the exact date when he got the stitches removed from his carpal tunnel, though. He wasn't able to start work prior to that, but I did want to put those on record.
Okay.
Additionally, you know, there have been no problems. He submits his itineraries. He was a computer tech when he was in prison, so he knows his way around a computer, so he got out and didn't miss a beat with his itineraries. Again, I believe it's because he's been required to do them before, so that was fairly simple for him to do, and he's has been in compliance.
Okay. Does the board have any questions of Officer Adams? Okay. Thank you, Officer.
Thank you.
Okay, the board's going to go into discussion. Mr. Graham, it may appear as though the board is speaking to you, but we're only going to be talking amongst ourselves at this time. The board is now into discussion. I'm just going to say that I think that based on the information that we have and the information from the parole officer, Mr. Adams, and the fact that I think it's very true, Mr. Graham does know and realize the seriousness of the relationship of being on home arrest, that he's done it, that he has continued to work, and he hasn't had any violation during this period of time. He was actually granted home arrest, I don't know exactly when he was released from prison, but he was actually granted home arrest. Looks like it was August 16th of last year when he was actually granted home arrest. I think all the things that he's stated here has been true so far. I tell you that I would be supportive of Mr. Graham getting general parole at this time. I'm going to listen to the rest of my colleagues at this time. Mr. Quinones.
Yeah, I wouldn't say too much. I think that he really has displayed a lot of learning from over the years and his experiences. You know, a couple of things. One is that it was a moment of levity, but I really appreciated when he had said, like, I'm not going to give her any reason to call. You know, I mean, we were being funny, but like, it was, he said it immediately, and I thought that's a great attitude. And it kind of reminds me of that expression. You know, the best way to avoid a bar fight is not to be in that bar in the first place. And I can tell you're kind of living by that code, but just by some of the other stories that you've told, and I find that very meaningful. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. Therefore, I am going to make a motion to grant Mr. Graham a 412A general parole, deny him absolute discharge at this time to 411. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agreed? Good. Motion made by myself, second by Mr. Neal. Agree. Mr. Quinones, agree. Mr. Rittenhouse, general parole. Motion to grant general parole to deny a absolute discharge of 411. Conditions of his release is going to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. No alcohol use, needs assessment, referral counseling. I'm going to mark random tests of drug and alcohol. Doesn't have any detainers if deported. I'm not going to mark he may not operate a motor vehicle. I'm not sure if he's operating a motor vehicle now or not, but he's been out 9 months, so.
You know, it's not
something. So. Yeah. standard is no contact with the victim family. Must pay restitution, which I think he's paying on now. Abide by all institutional rules. Partaking any available program as directed. Those are going to be my recommendations. And right now, do we need to mark up here for this regular parole where he needs to? Is that just home arrest?
For regular parole.
For regular parole. So where are you standing now, Mr. Graham?
I'm staying at 5934 West Osborne Road at kind of like my stepdad. It's his grandfather.
Okay.
But private residence.
The Pies residence. Okay. Abel just had open heart surgery. I guess he's calling him a sponsor.
Pies residence.
He would be here today, but last Thursday he had, or Wednesday? Wednesday he had bypass surgery. He's 80 years old.
All right, so I was just trying to, when you have home arrest, we have to put down an address. I'm just wondering on the rent for all. I don't think we have to.
I don't think we do.
Well, because that's fixing to change.
Yeah.
we're fixing to get our own place.
Okay. I'm just going to read that out. All right, sir. Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right, well, and you can just stay there. So, Mr. Graham, the board has voted to grant you regular parole, general parole, and deny you an absolute discharge. The conditions, I hope you heard them. Did you hear the conditions of your release, sir? To regular parole, that you have to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. Needs assessment, referral, or counseling. For vocational education, it would be up to your parole officer. No alcohol use, random tests with drugs and alcohol, no contact with victim's family, must pay restitution, which you're doing, abide by institutional rules, partake in an available program as directed.
Yes, sir.
Can you abide by those conditions?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Mr. Graham, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir.
All right, well, thank you, all four of you, for your votes, and I won't let you down.
Good luck.
See you in 6 months or a year.
All right.